107 FM Talk 106.5 Christmas Eve edition. Hour number three of Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here. Phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. Coming up at 9 this morning, Mike Gallagher Show debuting here at FM Talk 106.5. In addition, let's talk about the 2018 Alabamian of the Year contest. This got started, of course, with your nominations. We built up the list. Dalton put them in the brackets, and you've been voting. And today we are still in round one, but in the fourth heat here, right?
Yeah, that's right. We'll wrap up the first round of the bracket today and tomorrow, and then we'll begin the second round voting. And we'll have this all wrapped up by the first or second of 2019. You'll officially know the 2018 Alabamian of the Year. And we just wrapped up the sports bracket yesterday. You had Auburn head basketball coach Bruce Pearl moving into the second round. Also, Alabama backup quarterback Jalen Hurts, who came in and saved the day for the SEC championship. Also, the Mobile Bay Bears Rocket City Trash Pandas, which are the same team, and the Ladd People Stadium debate. All of those moved into the second round. And now in this fourth part of the first round bracket, it's kind of good people and critters, and then annoying people. Let me kind of wrap all that up together. So you got Austin President P. Ryan, who's feeding the homeless. He's been doing
wearing a cape doing it.
Yep, wearing a cape, feeding the homeless. Just an awesome kid from Birmingham.
He's 5 years old. Yeah,
that's amazing. He's such a good kid. And another great person right here, Rodney Smith Jr., who's mowing the yards for the elderly and disabled in every state in America. A couple here that go together, Scooters on the Road. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes. People that take electric mobility scooters.
Electric mobility scooters. And kind of in the same vein there, people walking the busy roads or walking the roads at nighttime. They also made the list. The Fight or Die rowing team. You could vote for them. Also, the high-stepping turkeys, Clyde and Henrietta, which had a whole lot of support going into this. Kirk J., who finished third on the voice voting just last week and had Kirk J. Day in Baldwin or in Bay Minette last week. And the New York poop train that made its way into Florence, Alabama, and was the source of quite a bit of discontent in Florence over the summer, but provided a pretty funny story for the rest of us in the state. So those are the eight you can vote for today. We'll start second-round voting on Wednesday.
All right. You know, speaking of the Fight or Die, OAR, rowing team Fight or Die, I'm going to replay my interview today during Midday Mobile. We'll hear that interview with them from a couple weeks ago.
Great.
And they are, so they are out there in the middle of the Atlantic on purpose in a rowboat's not the right term because this thing is high-tech Kevlar, but it's, I think, a 23 or 26-foot boat that they're using to row across the Atlantic. I mean, that is their plan. They started there in La Gomera in the Canary Islands. They will end up in Antigua, and they are right now. Let's see, because last time I checked, they were in like 11th place, I think, last time I checked, and they have moved moved back some. They're in 15th place now. Mind you, this is a huge pack of boats that are purposely rowing across the Atlantic. But Bryant Knight, one of the team members who's from here in Mobile, and the other three veterans, they are averaging 2.1 knots, and they are right now in 15th place. Just off, let's see, the leader, this Dutch Atlantic Four, they're rowing at 3.1 knots. The rest of the top 10 are probably around 2.6 to 2.8 knots, down to 2.5, where we find the Fight or Die team. So pretty good stuff. They are in 15th place with a long way to go across the Atlantic. And I tell you what, there's an app out there. I don't know if it's easy to – it was easy for me to find. If you'll go to – I was in Google Play, or if you get go to the iTunes store and look for this tracker. It is – what's the official name?
YB Races.
Yes, okay. There it is. YB Races. If you look for that, it will come up, and you're looking for the Talisker Whiskey Atlantic Challenge. And if you find that, that's the race. And like, you have the app, like I have on my phone, you can just mash on the app there and go find the team and see
free
how they're doing
as well.
Yeah, it's free. Yeah, absolutely.
Always good to add that.
Yes. If free. I'm telling you about it, it's free.
And just as easy to find in the iTunes store also. Just search YB Races.
All right. Do you want to hear what that's all about? My interview with them. We'll replay during Midday Mobile today. Also, I want to bring this story up. I think this is good. You've always heard it's better to give than to receive, right? The
correct
feeling of, but when you can get some people in lab coats, the scientist in on it, then you can prove it. So you hear the phrase, you say, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Researchers now at Northwestern and the University of Chicago teamed up to see what's better, the joy of giving people gifts or the joy of getting gifts. And the clear winner, giving gifts. You've probably felt that over time. But, you know, when you get the people at Northwestern and the University of Chicago in, you get some scientific validity to this. Here's how they did their study. They gave 100 people $5 a day for 5 days in a row. Each person could either keep the money or give it away, but they had to do the same thing with it all 5 days. And if they gave it away, they had to give it to the same person every day. On the first day, both groups reported similar levels of happiness. But after that, the amount of happiness people got from keeping the money started to drop dramatically. The level of joy people got from keeping $5 on day five was much lower than it was on day one. But meanwhile, the group that gave away the money continued to derive the same amount of pleasure from it, regardless of how many times they did it. So why was that the case? One theory is that when we receive a gift, we tend to focus on what we're getting, and we subconsciously compare it to stuff we've gotten in the past. In other words, getting $5 after you already got $5 is somewhat boring. But when we give, we're a lot less focused on what we're giving and more focused on the joy that comes from the act itself. So there you go. Scientifically, which you've heard all those years, it's better to give than receive. They've proven it now.
And those people probably were triple blessed as well.
Yes.
Well, you know, in different ways, just from being doing a good act. And I think
you get a high from it. I mean, this is what you're not supposed to say this, you know, but
we can say it.
Yeah, I've been, you know, that's why I made a career of saying the things you're not supposed to say.
you get a buzz. A euphoric high.
Yes. Because people say, you shouldn't be. No, but the truth is, I mean, it's good you do right by your fellow human beings, but at the same time, you get a little, I mean, you get a little something. Like when I'm working with the kids and they're doing something, I say, that feeling right there, it's a good feeling, isn't it?
It never ceases to amaze me, though. I mean, you can give when you think it's your last dollar, and you sometimes begrudgingly do it. You give it, and then you do laundry, and you find $5 in your pants pocket.
The magical forgotten pocket money fairy.
That one. And you're like so excited, like you hit the Powerball when you get your own money back.
Now, of course, I like to use that to mess with some kids on Christmas.
Yes.
Like I've been giving gifts that don't, the bigger gift is inside the other gift. I gave a couple of these last night to some of my godchildren where the initial gift is like a wah, wah, wah. Mm-hmm. And they watch them go, oh, gosh, I got this. And then you open it and surprise, there's the bigger gift.
Do you roll video on those things?
I don't, but I should. But I don't, yeah.
Oh, man, that'd make for great footage when they get married.
Yeah, you mean something to use to extort, you know, down the road that they would, okay.
That's what any true parent would do.
That is correct. I haven't done it yet with my children, but I'm using it on my nieces, nephews, and godchildren. You know why? Because my kids know what I'm up to, so. All right, coming back, the whiskey speech and a whole lot more here in hour number 3 of our Christmas Eve edition on Mobile Mornings. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Christmas Eve. Glad to have you all along. Phone number 343-0106 also works for the text line 343-0106. Somebody asking a question. What happens at 9? Mike Gallagher. Mike Gallagher Show, brand new here at FM Talk 106.5, debuts. Tough place to make this guy debut, but he does on a Christmas Eve. Also coming up this week at the end of the week, some football. Got Auburn playing in the Music City Bowl.
Mm-hmm. That's a let's see, 12:30 kickoff?
Yeah, so 9:30 the broadcast starts here at FM Talk 106.5, so that'll carry us through Friday.
Yeah, big game for Auburn. Gus Malzahn, 1-4 in bowl games as Auburn's head coach. He's trying to turn that around, and he'll try to do that against Purdue on Friday in the Music City.
All right, so that's going to be for the bulk of, it'll be for all the whole midday show and the bulk of Mike Gallagher, first week on it. Hey, man.
Football, you've been bumped. You've
scooch
been bumped.
Over. You've scooch been, over.
Welcome. Football here in the South has bumped you. Also, on our website, you can look at schedule changes. You can also check out our 2018 Alabamian of the Year voting. And now y'all made the nominations. The names have gone up. You've been voting steadily. We're in the fourth heat of the first round. And after this, we go down to 16.
That's right. We started with 32, and things will move much more quickly once we're out of this first round. But we'll finish up the first round voting today and tomorrow, and then we'll move into the second round where we have 16 remaining nominees to win the 2018 Alabamian of the Year.
All right, and I thought this was pretty interesting. We played it last hour. The start of NORAD tracking Santa and how this happened.
Yes, this is fascinating to me.
So it was part of, part of Christmas for me, as it is for my children a lot. The nice thing that you've got the folks at NORAD doing the great work of following Santa as he goes through, of course, the other time zones to earlier than us and then hits the United States. And that's when he comes under the auspices of the North American Aerospace Defense Command. And they're watching him at NORAD. They're tracking him. Now you said the 3D tracker effect.
Yes, it's lovely. You see how many presents he has delivered thus far. I mean, and the numbers are just astronomical, as well as where he is at that point, where he's headed next. There's a phone number. There's an email. And they've been taking your call since 4 a.m. Mountain Standard Time this morning.
There you go. So Santa tracking. How did it all start? They say it started with a misprint in a newspaper.
It's been a tradition that began with a typo since 1955.
Santa will depart the North Pole and head directly for North American airspace.
A Sears ad in a newspaper in Colorado Springs in 1955 invited children to call Santa direct, but a misprint redirected that call to the hotline at the Continental Air Defense Command, now known as the North American Aerospace Command, or NORAD. Now, if that phone rang, it would have either been the president or a four-star general at the other end, as it was the height of the Cold War, so if it rang, it meant real trouble. But when it rang on Christmas Eve in 1955, and Colonel Harry Shoup picked up that line thinking the worst, it was neither the president nor a four-star general. It was a five-year-old child, and that child wanted to speak to Santa Claus. After determining this was not a joke and wondered how this kid get this number, Colonel Shoup ho-ho-ho'd, asked the child if they'd been good, and asked to speak to their mother. The mother asked, had he seen the paper? There's a number to call Santa. Shoup looked at the paper. Sure enough, there it was, his super-secret hotline number printed for all to see. Some of the men under his command then drew a sleigh and reindeer on the big glass map of the U.S. and Canada, and Colonel Shoup got an idea. He called a local radio station, said who he was, and said the command sees on its radar an unidentified flying object and looked like a sleigh. Then Colonel told the station it was Santa, who began his yearly toy delivering to good boys and girls trip. The station called him back every hour after that, asking, "Where's Santa now?" And the rest is history.
We can confirm that Santa is airborne at this time.
NORAD has a website now, and Santa, codenamed the Big Red One, is tracked and protected from the ground, sea, and air, escorted through North American airspace by the military's finest fighter jets.
General, from our perspective, Santa is clear to travel through the designated airspace.
Roger, Papa Bear 01 and 02.
You can even call the Flight Information Center, staffed with 1,200 volunteers, to ask when Santa will be at your house.
Well, he'll be there around 11:30 tonight.
So you can be in bed and asleep, allowing Santa to do his good work. NORAD says the government shutdown will not stop it from making sure Santa's ride is safe, and you know where he is at all times. I'm Jim Roop.
There you go. And now you know. And now on to another tradition here at FM Talk 106.5. This happens, well, it happens at Christmas Eve each year, when we hear from Judge Noah S. Soggy Sweat Jr., a judge, law professor, state representative in the U.S. Senate in Mississippi, and notable for his 1952 speech on the floor of the Mississippi State Legislature concerning whiskey. Well, it has something to do with whiskey, but more importantly, if you want to understand political rhetoric in grand, grand fashion, it's displayed here. This is the whiskey speech, Judge Noah Soggy Sweat Jr. right here on Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Go, boys, go!
I sound like an ad. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? To truly appreciate this classic 315 words, you must remember it was written over 50 years ago when the sale of whiskey was illegal in Mississippi. We sold it, we drank it, we taxed it. We even elected a statewide public official to collect the tax. People staggered to the polls to vote dry, was the common saying. It was the most controversial of all subjects to ask a candidate for public office, especially a candidate for the legislature. This speech was written and delivered by N.S. Soggy Sweat while he was a member of the Mississippi House of Representatives from Alcorn County. My friends, I had not intended to discuss this controversial subject at this particular time. However, I want you to know that I do not shun controversy. On the contrary, I will take a stand on any issue at any time, regardless of how fraught with controversy it might be. You have asked me how I feel about whiskey. All right, this is how I feel about whiskey. If when you say whiskey, you mean the devil's brew, the poison scourge, the bloody monster that defiles innocence, dethrones reason, destroys the home, creates misery and poverty, yea, literally takes the bread from the mouths of little children. If you mean the evil drink that topples a Christian man and woman from the pinnacles of righteous, gracious living into the bottomless pit of degradation and despair and shame and helplessness and hopelessness, then certainly I am against it. But if when you say whiskey, you mean the oil of conversation, the philosophic wine, the ale that puts a song in their hearts and laughter on their lips and a warm glow of contentment in their eyes, if you mean Christmas cheer, if you mean the stimulating drink that puts a skip into the old gentleman's step on a frosty Christmas morning, if you mean the drink when it enables a man to magnify his joy and his happiness and to forget, if only for a little while, life's great tragedies and heartaches and sorrows, if you mean the drink, the sale of which pours into our treasury untold millions of dollars, which are used to provide tender care for our little crippled children, I'm blind, I'm deaf, I'm pitifully aged and infirm, to build highways, hospitals, and schools, then certainly I'm for it. This is my stand. I will not retreat from it. I will not compromise.
And let that example of political rhetoric ring in your ears amusingly, but also help you screen through a lot of what you hear from Washington and Montgomery even today. All right, 8:30 FM Talk 106.5. We're coming right back on Mobile Mornings. I want to, because Dalton, you said, so hats off to people making those deliveries this time of year. You had a delivery at what time at your house?
Okay, so at the end of last week, you know, I went to bed at a normal time, right around 10:30 p.m. To get up for the morning show the next day, and I find out the next day that we had a delivery at 11:15 p.m. Rang the doorbell and everything. Somehow I didn't wake up in that. But deliveries, they're getting it done.
What about that hustle?
Seriously, whenever they can get it done.
I don't know. I think that they probably know you well enough because you get deliveries. They probably said, they're sleeping. Let me just leave this quietly for you.
That would have been nice, but they did not.
Also, I have a story. Did you see this? The four-legged porch pirate was actually the dog of the family. They delivered the package, and the dog decided to take it out on the package. Talk about that coming up. And your Christmas traditions, let us know at 343-0106. That was ours, the whiskey speech. How about y'all's?
All right, 736 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Right now, it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton. Merry early Christmas, buddy.
Hey, same to you. So let everyone know, I know right now a good time to get out because a lot of people off work and they want to check out the cars on the lot. You're open at McConnell Automotive today. What are your hours?
Well, Dalton, we're open until 2:30. So realistically speaking, anybody that wants to buy a car today, they got plenty of time. But we are a family-owned, you know, focused dealership. So we're going to let everybody head home to their family this afternoon. But there's going to be some last-minute shoppers. I think maybe there's a husband or two out there, Dalton, that didn't buy their wife a Christmas present, but they know they need a car. They could do a two-for-one deal if they kind of hurry up this morning.
That's for sure. And on Christmas, McConnell Automotive closed. Is that correct?
Yeah, we are closed. And again, just so people can spend time with their family. It's the greatest holiday there is. And, you know, quite frankly, the website is such a great place to shop, Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
You've checked it out, McConnellAutomotive.com. And people are going to really love it, Doc, because it's so easy. And plus, you're going to see the best prices anywhere on the Gulf Coast.
And what kind of deals do you have here as we enter the end of 2018?
Well, literally, for people listening, this last push to the end of the year, Doc, is my favorite time to be in the car business because of the look on people's faces. It's like Christmas morning with the savings. So over $13,000 off the real MSRP on a Sierra. How about over $10,000 on a Yukon? We've got these huge percentage plays that you saw on Black Friday. They're back. And it's all happening just this last 7 or 8 days of the year, Dalton, and people are saving big money. And we're motivated because we save taxes if we can get rid of this inventory between the end of the year. So it's literally like, make me an offer. Come steal a GMC or a Buick. And the used cars are the same way, Dalton. So this is a perfect time. Just we really appreciate you guys and everybody else. And hope everybody has an awesome holiday.
All right. We appreciate it, Mitch. Have a Merry Christmas from the FM Talk 106.5 crew.
Y'all have a blessed Merry Christmas, Dalton.
All right, that's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive. They're on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
All right, 838 FM Talk 106.5. Yes, some people were wondering where they could find the whiskey speech, and we can put some links up to it. But if you just go to YouTube or search whiskey speech, Soggy Sweat Jr. or whatever, you'll get that speech. It's a little bit about Christmas and a whole lot about political rhetoric. I think it's a pretty good 3.5 minutes of an example.
The name alone will make you want to log on and retweet.
Any word on whether there's been a Soggy Sweat the third or the fourth?
I have not.
Where are we in that family now?
I don't know if the dynasty continued on down the line. I don't know, but I do know that if you'll just search for the whiskey speech online, you'll get it. And it's just what's interesting, obviously, is the funny part about the delivery and the words written, but also. If we look at political rhetoric, it's just you take one divisive and just come at it two ways and say, I can say this or I can say that, and I'm going to do it with emphasis. It's just politics, y'all.
He was fired up. Yeah, I hope one of his descendants does the marijuana speech coming up. Because marijuana is as to whiskey back when he made that speech, I guess, at this point in time.
You know, a buddy of mine and I were talking. He had some family in town, and one of his family members was in a political debate with another, and they were dogging out Jeff Sessions and talking about him as attorney general and enforcing marijuana law. Okay. And my buddy and I were talking about this. This is, I think, those people that would like to see a change in the federal law against the interstate commerce portion. The fact that where the feds enforce marijuana law is that the marijuana folks can't put their money in a bank. Banks are under federal auspices, therefore it's illegal. So they can't. You hear all the stories about the marijuana broker people. I know it's other states, but I've heard the actual stories of people in Colorado that have to have all this cash and all, you know, safes for all their cash
and security.
Yeah, because they're moving. They can't direct deposit. They don't have bank accounts. And this person was all bad about Jeff Sessions. I said, you know, y'all missed the boat here with him out. If you'll have somebody who will come in there and not really enforce the federal laws, you're never going to get clarity on this because Congress was not forced. The best thing you could have had happen was Jeff Sessions as Attorney General because he was doing, I don't know, this crazy thing called enforcing the law. And then when you enforce the law, then people don't like it. Well, then they get on their members of their the representatives in the House and Senate and push for a change if you're somebody who believes in that change. But as long as you have a system where it's against the law, but they're not really going to enforce the federal side of it that happened, nothing changes, and it continues to be quasi-legal, quasi-illegal, and, you know, as one that, just like my frustration at a municipal level with the city council and the administration going to a mediator instead of a judge, I don't care. I do care that they get along, but the point is they're filing the lawsuit to try to get clarity and a precedent set on who gets to do what in the Zogby Act form of government. But if you go to a mediator, you may have an agreement, but that doesn't set precedent. Same thing here with the way the federal law is with marijuana. When you had Jeff Sessions enforcing that, you were going to have it come to a head. It would have gone back to the legislature, and they would either have reconfirmed that it's illegal and then challenged those states that were actively doing it, or they would have said, okay, there's no federal prohibition, just like they did with gambling, no federal prohibition on it.
Now, I wonder if it'll ever be pressing enough to go ahead and vote on it federally. We're kind of seeing the same thing with sports gambling right now, because last week the Republican Grassley and I don't remember if it was Schumer, another high-ranking Democrat, they kind of started working together on a federal sports gambling bill to legalize it federally. Now that we're seeing so many states legalize sports gambling, kind of the same thing with marijuana, but do people care enough? Since each state is legalizing it on their own, when will the nation
then
say,
let's vote
on it?
Well, then don't let it be in completely flying in the face of the federal law. Then you need to get rid of the federal law.
Mm-hmm.
Either have a federal law that says the gambling, the marijuana, the banking, or all these things are against law, and then enforce it. Or if you don't think that's right, and these states have the right and liberty to do this, then get rid of the federal law.
Consistency would just be nice.
Isn't that, I mean...
How about that? Just like consistency in the voting polls. You know, when you go to the ballot,
right,
the ballots are uniform. So
what,
that people know
that? Yeah,
how to do...
from state to state.
From state to state. Because what happens if you've grown up in a certain state and then you move, you're just... And if you're only there just to get your little sticker, you're not even paying attention. So consistency is key with most
things. I wonder about that. That's a discussion we've never had before of having... Because I have... No, I've never voted in any other state than Alabama.
Oh, so, I have.
Well, I know you've moved around. See, I have not. So I'm used to, since I was 18 to now, I've just kind of been voting in the same state.
Because just like here, using pencil and paper, I haven't done that before. I've had computerized.
Right.
Where you go into the polls and you hit buttons, and then you're done. That was very different to me.
The Scantron, and then putting it in the machine, the reading machine.
You don't touch anything. I wasn't used to that. So the first time I voted here, you know, you fill it out with your pencil and paper, and then you walk it up to where you're supposed to. Give it to the. I've never had to do that.
See, which is interesting for me to hear, because I know nothing other than that.
Really?
So it just seems like completely the normal thing to do with me.
And let me just add, though, and I'm not saying one way is better than the other, because at least with the pencil and paper, if someone's helpful, they can say, you do know there's something on the back there. As opposed to if you're just dealing with a computer, the computer may not alert you. It just may say, thank you very much, and you get your sticker as you walk out. So there's pros and cons to both sides.
I haven't heard this discussed, so this is interesting going forward, like to standardize, would it pick something for all 50 states and it looks, would that be only on federal cycles? Would it also apply just for any election inside that state?
I say you build to it. I think you start at the local level, and then that way people are used to it, and then you build, because if you only do it once a year, then people don't know when to really put their foot on the gas or when to put their when to coast.
I wonder how hard it would be in our republic to get everybody, if we were going to do that, to get everybody to agree on what that is.
Oh, geez.
Is it Scantron? Is
it
computer?
So much red tape.
Is the background going to be, is it going to be this? And then how many squares are going to show up at any given time on the screen? You know how that stuff goes, right? I mean, people will just be battling it out over nuance.
The minutia.
So this will be an idea that will sit forever in debate, because it won't ever happen, because somebody will be like, no, you can't do it that way.
Just like with licenses. I mean, when you go in to get your new license, how great would it be if it could spit it out to you? You have your new license. You know, your
driver's license.
That's what they do in San Diego.
Right.
And, I mean, now you have a long wait to get to that point, but once you get in there, you're walking out with your driver's license.
You get it to go. You don't have to wait for it in the mail.
Right.
One place it is easy to vote right now. Alabamian of the Year.
That's
on
right.
FMTalk1065.com. Same standard voting for everyone. We count all the votes equally. And we're going to wrap up that first round voting today and tomorrow and move into the second round on Wednesday.
So all before right. we go to the break, though, I did want to just read this headline to you. If you want the story, that's fine. Lady Rudolph makes Santa's naughty list.
Uh-oh.
As reindeer disguise burglar.
Not.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, we'll come back to that. And also this this dog that took the package off the porch and destroyed it.
Oh.
On the naughty list as well. Coming right back.
Christmas to you.
Right, 8:51, FM Talk 106.5, and Merry Christmas to you too, Kane. Got a gift for you, but I can. It's really a pronunciation thing, but. Something completely different. All right, Kane, thank you. Coming up in just about, 9 minutes here? Well, a little over that after news. Mike Gallagher Show debuts here at FM Talk 106.5. Also, like Dalton said, the voting is on in the fourth heat of the first round of the Alabamian of the Year. We winnow down that list of nominees you gave us and arrive at the Alabamian of the Year. That person, group, thing, idea, whatever that most influenced the news cycle in our state in 2018. We'll get to that that first week there in 2019 and award that nomination. Also, we're coming to the phones in just a second, but this headline just had caught my attention when Kelly said something about Mrs. Rudolph or
Lady Rudolph.
Lady Rudolph.
Lady Rudolph makes Santa's naughty list as reindeer disguise burglar. And of course, this is fantastic because there's surveillance video attached to this. This happened in Fort Collins, Colorado. The Rudolph, they say, is definitely on Santa's naughty list, or at least that of the Fort Collins Police Department, which posted this footage of the rogue reindeer to the soundtrack of a twangy banjo rendition of Santa Claus is Coming to Town as she snuck into a Fort Collins business, turned on the lights, and filled a backpack with loot. The plea for identifying said thief came with new Rudolph lyrics befitting the situation, all posted on Facebook along with a video. It's worth a watch, as well as a sing-along. here are one of the lyrics. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Burglar had a very shady scheme, and if you saw the video, it would want to make you scream.
There
oh, how the camera caught her as she committed burglary. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Criminal, we need your help with her ID.
Good for them being creative. I like this.
I'll tweet this out so you can watch it. It's fantastic.
See, this is some creativity this time of year. It's a good thing. It's a gift. Oh, also, speaking of gifts, don't leave them on your porch if your dog likes to tear stuff up. Saw a story from Fox 10. Said during the holiday season, people have been getting a lot of packages delivered directly to their door, but some of those unfortunately get stolen by thieves. They said, we've shown you videos of porch pirates before, but this time it's a little bit different. The package was delivered by Amazon, was stolen by a dog. And you can see him walking off with it. And guess what? The neighborhood dog then starts tearing up the package. I'll put this picture up or this video up on Twitter as well. As you see what could be your Christmas gifts arriving at your house just to have a dog tear it into pieces.
I wonder if that was wrapped with the Jimmy Dean sausage wrapping paper.
Remember that
they were giving out earlier this year.
Or possibly the KFC fire log that smelled like fried chicken. You know, that could get you in trouble. All right, go to the phones at 343-0106 and James the Engineer checking in. Hey, man, Merry Christmas.
Hey, guys, Merry Christmas to you. Just want to wish you a very merry, happy Christmas and a happy New Year also. I want to put a shout-out for the military guys, ladies and men, you know, doing their duty during this time of the year and not being able to be home, you know.
Yeah, that is that's tough.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all giving us informative information all the time. Really, some of the stuff we don't always hear on news, we kind of hear on 106.5.
Well, Well, thank you. I appreciate that. We try to make sure we're reporting on everything that crosses, you know, in front of us that we think may not be getting reported elsewhere. So, yeah, we're trying to get that through. And, James, I appreciate it. Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Yes, thank sir. You. Same to you guys, and y'all take care.
Will do. Will do.
Thank you. As well.
I want to say this, too, that tomorrow, speaking of military, we're doing what we do. Well, we do it on Thanksgiving each year and Christmas Day. I know we do it on New Year's Day as well. We tell the story of the Fisher House. And the Fisher House, this is getting to be cliched, but the way I explained it, probably the best one. If you understand what Ronald McDonald House means to families who have children at children's hospitals, like, for example, what Ronald McDonald House here means for families that have, families that have children at Children's and Women's Hospital here, where they're nearby, they can walk over, but they have that family-like atmosphere, a home instead of, nothing wrong with a hotel room, but, I mean, it's not a home setting. That's what Ronald McDonald House does, and we believe in what they do, and we also believe in Fisher House a whole bunch here. They do the same kind of facilities for families of veterans getting care at our VA facilities, not just here in the States, but VA facilities around the globe. And we have many of them that are outside the United States. So when those families have to travel and be there with their loved one, there's somewhere for them to stay.
That's a big deal.
Fisherhouse.org, by the way, is the website. They build these homes at nearby VA facilities. In addition to, we've talked about, and tomorrow you'll hear their story, and we always ask you, if just consider Fisher House when you're doing donations for charity. And also, not just cash, but you can also donate airline miles, something, a program I really think is fantastic. If you build up airline miles, you can donate those to Fisher House so those families can fly to be with their loved ones wherever they're in treatment at a VA facility.
And tax deductible, too.
Yes.
Just in time. Give, and then the gift comes back to you. It's a two-prong type of happiness. And these families, I mean, these veterans, these families, these active duty military families have been through so much already, and to put them in a situation where they can focus on the person who needs the care, as opposed to wondering where will they stay, how will they pay their bills, how will they go grocery shopping, that support is so greatly appreciated and needed.
And you can donate on fisherhouse.org. They have some stats. 79 houses in operation right now, 335,000 families served since 1990, over $407 million in savings to families since 1990, and over 8 million days of lodging to those military families.
So that, fisherhouse.org. Y'all do your own research. I'm going to tell you they're a fantastic charity, but you do your own research, and then when you hear their story tomorrow or any time, a great national charity to give to. We always talk about local charities we're in support of, but some national charities we like to bring attention to, and Fisher House is definitely one of them. The story of Fisher House tomorrow morning starting at 6 right here at FM Talk 106.5.
I would like you to know on your Twitter feed.
Yes.
The Lady Rudolph is there. The Lady Rudolph is waiting for you.
All right.
On your Twitter feed.
I'll go check it out.
The Burglar.
Merry Christmas, y'all. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
All right. Mike Gallagher Show on the way.
That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Melikilikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you.
Melikilikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send.